Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Welcome in. Judd's Hockey Show, post-game edition, Wild 2, Anaheim Ducks nothing. Judd from the XL Energy Center, where the Wild just won. A.J. Fredrickson at his home base. He just watched the game. A.J., got a few things to get to. The Wild, by the way, again tonight, now pulling within 4 points of the last wild card spot, the Vegas Golden Knights. But Vegas is playing Calgary tonight, and Vegas just took a 1-0 lead in that game. So Vegas could keep their lead at 6 if they beat the Flames, who have been scuffling of late. But let's get to tonight's game. Let's get to a guy who didn't have a lot of work, but I think it's very intriguing, A.J. Fredrickson, that Marc-Andre Fleury, at what, the tender age of 39 now, a guy who was expected to be, you know, pretty clearly the backup to Philip Gustafson, is unquestionably right now the number one goaltender and the guy, one of the guys that John Hines is banking on for this team to make the playoffs. Your thoughts on the fact that John Hines, and I don't blame him, but I'm curious about your thoughts on the fact that John Hines is putting all of his eggs now in the basket of a goaltender who has not carried a load like this probably for a few years.
Yeah, Judd, it's, pretty easy night at the office for Marc-Andre Fleury, 75th career shutout for the future Hall of Famer. It was single digit shots for the Ducks for a majority of that game. So, you know, I'm not going to say that was like the hardest shutout that he's had in his career. You know, it's probably on the easier side of that 75, but, there was a couple instances where the Ducks did rally here and there. They had that goal disallowed and immediately out of that whistle. I mean, they looked like they had momentum. They looked like they had control of the game. And I do want to say that, you know, if they go to the other goaltender and Philip Gustafson, we've seen how easily shaken that he can get. So who knows if the roles are reversed and Philip Gustafson is in net for that sequence, who knows where things go after that. But Fleury stands tall, makes a couple decent stops, really doesn't have, he's not breaking the biggest of sweats of all time, but I'm sure he's going to be happy with another win. The team's going to be happy with 2 points. And I think that almost maybe goes to show, like, it's a bad team in the Ducks, don't get me wrong. But defensively, the Wild did a good job of driving the Ducks to low percentage chances where they either felt we're not going to shoot the puck here, or if they did, it was an easy stop for Marc-Andre Fleury, and they were getting in front of some shots as well. So defensively, it is a bad team, but I will give the Wild credit because they limited them like they're supposed to. They didn't play down to their opponent, which I think we've seen enough happen this year.
16 shots for the Ducks, actually outshot in this game, 31-16. Don't put a ton of stock in shots, but it was interesting that it was 15-2 in the second period. I'll say this about the performance tonight as well, and we'll get to the newest member of the Wild in a second. I thought this performance was superior to Tuesday's. Now, it's two bad teams. The Coyotes are two. And so it's very comparable as far as the opponents go. But I thought Tuesday and the Wild talk like they played well, but I mean, they won, but I didn't think they played that well. I thought tonight, to what you're saying, AJ, was more impressive. I thought tonight that I felt like the Wild was in control. I felt like the Wild was in control on Tuesday at times, but really not the entire game. I thought the pace, I thought the tone, I thought the way that the Wild played tonight, this is how I think you should play against a team like the Ducks. The Coyotes game, if you go back after the Nick Bjugstad goal, it's actually tied at 1, and then the Wild got going. And don't forget, they also had 2 empty net goals. I thought tonight, I would describe it as a much more complete performance from the home team.
Yeah, absolutely. The intensity, the will, the sheer like pride, I just felt was not there the other night in that win over the Yotes. Tonight, they look like a team that knows, hey, we need points desperately. The other day was just a mere couple of days removed from pulling your goaltender in overtime to get 2 points. So it against a very tough division rival. So the fact that you couldn't have that carry over, I'm glad it looked like they found that again tonight. It's slimmer chance than not that they do make the playoffs, but it was nice to see that they rebounded and found that drive, that will of, hey, we're playing for our livelihood here. Because if, you know, they really believe that they're going to be a playoff team, I want to see that they believe that they're going to be a playoff team. Right. And I saw that much more tonight than I did against the Coyotes.
All right, let's talk about him now. Started tonight, third line center, the debut in the National Hockey League of Murat Hustadinov, who I thought was very impressive, blocked some shots. In fact, I was just handed the final box score. He blocked four shots. He didn't have a shot on goal, and he won 6 of 9 faceoffs. Here's my initial observation. He's not a big guy. He looks like he belongs, though. The faceoff wins. In fact, he got a nice round of applause here in his first shift. He won not one but two faceoffs, and the speed is obvious. Like, I like how he – and I'm not surprised by this because his the stuff that he did in talking to the media, doing a lot of things in English right away here impressed me. But he looks like he feels he belongs. And in today's league, I am never going to discount speed. I like what he brings. And for a first impression, I got to say, I thought he did really damn well.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I think is my takeaway is, I think people undersold how good of a skater he is. Cause I've seen film, and I don't know, maybe it's just like the grainy overseas Russian film wasn't doing him credit in my book, but that first shift, I mean, how often do you see a guy get a roar of the applause just for stepping on the ice? First, I do love that he went no bucket for warmups. Get that fine, take that fine.
So he did go no bucket. I didn't get here in time to watch. I saw he came out no bucket. Did he remain with no bucket the entire warmups?
I didn't see more than just like the initial couple of laps and kind of like the replays of it, but he came out locks flowing.
I love that. Yeah.
He's eating that fine. Already a legend in my book, but, but yeah, no, he smaller in size, but the skating, you could just tell like he goes 0 to 60 like that. He's like a sports car. And he looks shifty enough to where he's going to be able to kind of weave in and around guys when he needs to. The stick handling, we already know was in his package. What I did like, because I think some guys, especially at his age, he's 21, maybe can shy away from going to the corner with speed. Like they can go in there tentatively. First shift, we saw him steamrolling into the corner. So sure, he didn't throw the biggest hits of all time, but he was not afraid going into the corner against NHL pro players. And I think that speaks to the maturity, which is something that has been talked about with him. Like this is a guy that after being drafted had a pretty significant leg injury. I want to say just a few months after being drafted by the Wild, he's battled back from that. He's been looked at over in Russia on his teams as more of a leader, despite being younger than most of the roster. So, and even just before coming over here, he's asking for the system packages. He wants to get up to speed before even touching down on North American soil. So he mentally probably is years ahead of where he is age-wise at 21, which is a fantastic sign to see.
You could tell he has played professional hockey at a high. I think that's the most important thing. Like
Judd's breaking up a little bit here, but I think what he was going to say is he looks like he's playing at – this is an unbelievable freeze for Judd.
Am I back?
Yep, I hear you. You're still – there we go. You're back.
Still?
No, you're back.
Hold on a second. I'm going to attempt to do something here quickly.
Okay.
With my Wi-Fi. Hold on. I hopefully won't disconnect myself completely.
Okay. Well, I'll take over for the time being here, but thank you, GA007. Everybody in the chat, can we get a quick, give me your 1 to 10 rating on the Merrick Hustadinov debut with the Wild. Obviously no points, didn't record our shot on net, but there is a lot that you can take away. We do have Judd now rejoining us here. Your takeaways from the night. Judd, I asked our loyal viewers here in the chat what they would grade Hustadinov's debut, 1 to 10, obviously no points. But where would you rate him on his debut?
Very solid 6 or 7 for a first game.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was, what I was saying when I was so rudely interrupted by the gremlins there was you could tell this kid has played pro hockey before. Like, you could tell he's played against men. And that's to your point about going into the corner. He wasn't afraid to. There was none of that, you know. You tend to get, if a kid comes up, especially from juniors or at a young age, you tend to get a tentativeness. There's no tentativeness here. Like, he might screw up at times, but here's what I really like too. And I mean, this is not necessarily part of the package, to put it how you did, but I really like the 4-block shots. Like, that's a telling statistic. And I mean, he's playing third line. He's with Foligno and Goudreau. So it's a very workmanlike type of, you know, winger. So it's not real fancy. It's not like he's on a line with, you know, Kaprizov or something. Mm-hmm. But I really like the fact that he stepped in, fit in, and it didn't look like it was new. And you didn't see him and go, oh, boy, there's some work here. Again, I'm sure he'll goof up at times. But I thought it was a very solid. Yeah, and I see Nick says 9 of 10. I mean, I'm saying a 7. But it was a very positive thing. And this, look, for the way this season has gone, I think it's fair to say, when we heard there was a chance that Hustadinov would come here, that this is one of the things that we were, as observers of this team, looking forward to, right? Like this is a curiosity thing. And look, all the games that he could possibly get now is fantastic, because that means he's going to arrive at training camp and hit the ground running. And I think we saw the beginning of a career in the National Hockey League tonight of a guy that could definitely contribute as a top six guy, not a bottom six guy, to this team starting in 2024-25.
And I think he kind of fits the mold that I think Bill Guerin is going to want down the line. Like you said, the size isn't really there, but what I have picked up from articles about him, interviews about him, watching his film and highlights and everything, he is a smaller, slightly less, like definitely less physical, but more speedy and agile Eriksson Ek, because he's going to play both ends of the ice. He's going to play a full 200-foot game, which I love. If you're going to be a center, especially, you can never have too many, you know, you're never going to have too many two-way centers on your team. So the Wild have a bigger guy who can park himself out front in Eriksson Ek. And we saw that he's out tonight, and granted, he played on the third line, but Hustadinov did a darn good job playing that 200-foot game. Like you said, 4-block shots. He's not afraid to go into the corner. He's not afraid to lay his body down for a team that he met a lot of these guys within the past, you know, within the past week. And he's blocking shots, and I think, like, development-wise, it's going to rise and rise. I don't know if we'll ever see, like, that star level, but like you said, impact, top six, you're going to see him in the lineup every single night. You're going to say, you know what, I am confident that he's going to have an impact on that top line or second line.
Second power play, too, and, you know, that speed is fantastic. So, yeah, that was a positive. In fact, let's just continue down the positive train, since this team is now 5-0-1 in its past six. And if nothing else, beating up on teams, it should too. Ryan Hartman. So I've been up and down on him. I know that you have. I know that our friends Declan Goff and Jesse Pierce have. But Ryan Hartman right now, and he missed some excellent opportunities tonight. But he did pick up a gorgeous assist on Kaprizov's 34th goal of the season. Ryan Hartman slotted in with Eriksson Ek out into that top line, I thought, tonight. AJ, really well. It's so funny, because I was talking to on JHS that we did with Jesse and Declan yesterday. He can be so streaky, because there's times where Hartman looks like he doesn't belong top six, and then there's times like right now where it's like, oh, okay, yeah. And John Hines was singing his praises after the Coyotes win. But this version of Ryan Hartman is the guy that Bill Guerin gave the contract extension to. You just need to see it more consistently. And it's not that you need to see the points. Like, he missed on a couple of great scoring chances. It's not just the points. I think more importantly, it's the style of play and playing smart and not taking dumb penalties. When Hartman's not playing well, he is in the box way too much. When he's playing well, he's a tough player. He's making some plays, and he's not in the penalty box.
Yeah, tonight what I will take away from his game is, how many times this season have we seen a key member of the Wild be out due to injury? And somebody has to go rise up the ranks. They get a promotion for, let's say, essentially doing nothing. Maybe they don't deserve it, but they're going to get the promotion anyways. and they just don't rise to the occasion. They take and they're like, hey, you know, I'm more ice time for me. Why not? I'll go out there. I'll buzz. I'm on TV. Hey, mom, dad, how you doing? Hey, honey. Ryan Hartman, he got more ice time. He's on the top line. He's playing with premium talent, and he rose to the occasion. He met the expectation. Like you said, he played a very smart game. I'm not going to knock him as much for the finishing because, frankly, I still think like that's just not his style of game. Like, Kirill Kaprizov, maybe on some of those, yeah, I'm like, okay, you got to finish those. Ryan Hartman, I'll let it slide because, you know, I just don't expect him to do that every once in a while. But sure. But he played at a level that, as Nick says here, kind of reminds me of what we saw earlier in his tenure with the Wild, where, yeah, this guy's playing at a very solid game, and he added to the team. Like, every time he was out there, sometimes you have that, you're dragging that line back, and, you know, you're holding back the potential. He stuck with it. He went stride for stride, shift for shift. He played a full 60 minutes, which was fantastic, and he, you know, like I said, he was adding, and that's the biggest thing. Just don't take away when you get that opportunity. And you know, he did a good job. I'll give him credit. He's had a good streak here over the last week or two.
And that you know, the second goal that passed to Kaprizov was a thing of beauty. That was absolutely a great pass. And yeah. to go back to Fleury for a second. Don't forget, Flower made the breakaway save that preceded that as well. So like, he didn't have a busy night, but again, he made a few nice saves, and that is exactly the type of saves the Wild did not get for long stretches. It felt like. Throughout the course of this season from Fleury and from Gustafsson. So like, you know, breakaway save. So instead of 1-1, it's still 1-0. Wild turns up the ice with the puck. Hartman makes that great pass where the Ducks had a breakdown defensively. Now it's 2-0. That's your final score. And I mean, that's the margins of the type of things. If I'm not mistaken, the Wild played the Ducks here on Hockey Day, and I believe they lost.
Yeah.
So like those were the games, and you go back and look at those points, and those points now are pivotal, especially if the Golden Knights continue to win. So like the difference is in the margins, and it can be small, but it's absolutely huge. Nick says, did our favorite player, Marcus Johansson, play for the Ducks? He played hard for once. That's funny because he did play hard for once, but so tonight, okay, so he did play hard, but did you see what I saw, which was how many times was he in position to create something offensively? And he either goes to the outside or like tonight he's coming down the left wing, and I'm sure it's a set play of some sort, but he decides instead of trying to drive, he decides to ring the puck around the boards to the right point. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get sometimes this guy is in a position to make plays. It's like the Hartman Kaprizov goal, right? Like Hartman made a nice pass, but it also came from some gritty work. Like, he was in a tough position. He got the pass off. Kaprizov, who's got the – and we'll talk about him in a second because he's been unbelievable – got the incredible hand-eye coordination, makes the play. When it comes to Marcus Johansson, I just don't know. He's a good skater. There is no question in my mind he's got talent, and I think he utilizes that talent maybe, if he's lucky, 8% of the time.
Yeah, he was playing a more as let's get it said. He was playing a pretty physical game early on, but you're right, Judd, where I want to see that boldness and the physicality that we saw. Do that. Also be bold in the offensive zone, because this is the same thing that I think we were complaining about during Matt Boldy's slump, so to speak, earlier this year, where you're kind of taking shifts off in the offensive zone. Like you said, you're shying away from getting to the gritty areas. You are, hey, Jesse, you are.
H said hi, Jesse. Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Say hi. There she is, Jesse Pierce.
There we go. But taking shifts off and just, you know, instead of going and taking a beating like you see some pros do, he just goes to the corner, cycles the puck, and then, okay, maybe I'll set up on the offside here. Matt Boldy tonight on whatever power play it was, I think it was in the third, where they had the full 2 minutes in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
He had one, like, he was out there for like 45, 60 seconds already, but then he just like found one more little, like, he was on fumes, but he was on the near side on the TV screen, if you're watching at home, right wing side of the ice, just a hard cut to the middle, tried to generate something. It didn't work out, but he was bold enough to try it, and he almost made it work. I need Marcus Johansson to do that, because you keep repeatedly getting put in these top six positions. You're on the ice when it matters most of the time, but you just don't decide to take the game by your hands and make it the Marcus Johansson show. It doesn't need to be all the time, but at times the spotlight is on you. Embrace it. Take the puck and do what you should be able to, which we've seen you do it before. This is, I'm not asking the world of you. I'm just asking you to play the game that you have done since, you know, you've been a kid. You've been able to go be a skilled player at times. Why not just do it? Why not just wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a good hockey player tonight. I want to go out and win. I want to go out and show people why I deserve another big contract at some point once the one with the Wild is up. Like, just don't do it in your contract year. Do it all the time, so it's a better repertoire when it is time for that.
The answer to your question is because it also means that you're going to get your ass kicked, and a lot of guys aren't willing to do that, and that's the problem. Because you're right about Boldy. So when Boldy was sort of scuffling, like really scuffling, as in not playing well, part of the problem was, and you know, AJ, to go back to Charlie Coyle at times with this, you know, part of the problem was you can score from the quiet areas, but to get to them, the quiet areas can turn noisy quickly and you can get your ass kicked, but you have to. But like, if you watch Boldy now, he's going right to the middle of the ice, right? He's right in the slot. Well, eventually you're going to get hit there. It's going to hurt. But if you're willing to stand there and take that punishment, pucks come there and you are in prime position. Now, Boldy did pass a shot tonight from the slot area that sort of frustrated me. But anyway, the point was he was there. That's the important thing. And Johansson just wants to get out of there. Like, he doesn't want to be there. It's part of why I make fun of him for being, I mean, he's basically wants to glide on the outside, which he's good at doing, but you know, you can't score goals from there. So I it's just frustrating. And I do want to get back to, as I try and avoid the fire alarm that goes off here at the X, I should have gone downstairs. I'm just going to make my way back to in front of a nice picture here of flower. Let's talk about Kaprizov though.
Yeah.
Kaprizov scores again tonight. He's got 34 goals now. He just has been absolutely incredible. And I think the thing that we're seeing here too is, you know, it's funny, but for a while there, he was clearly still hurting, right? He was not himself. And I don't think we ever accused him of dogging it. I don't think that he does. I don't think he ever has. But it's frustrating because you're like, this guy, what happened? And, you know, then Dean talked about after he got fired that Kirill still had not recovered fully from the Logan Stanley hit he took against the Jets. But right now, he looks incredible. And it felt to me on Tuesday like he lifted this team on his back. Like on Tuesday, it felt like he said, okay, we're not playing that well. You guys ain't that good. I'm going to win this game. Tonight, he fit in more because I thought the team played well. But it is really a testament to a guy who got off to a really rough start and did not, you know, and there was a time where it's like, I don't think his stats are going to be that good. Now has 34 goals.
He's been so good since regaining that form that I think all Wild fans have been yearning for since, you know, getting that injury last year. Coming back into the postseason right before the postseason, you're like, you know, he doesn't look right, but he's going to shake it off. He's just going to look to get back into the form by the time it really matters most. And he just really wasn't able to, and that was in part good coaching on the other side by locking him down that entire first-round series where they were just putting bodies on him. They were making every shift, every night, living hell because they were just putting sticks in places where it probably shouldn't be. Cross checks, you know, kind of go out the window when it comes to the playoffs. The rule book gets a little bit thinner. This year, you come back and you expect, you know, hey, it's yet an off season. You're good to go. But no, you just saw, hey, what's wrong? And this is something that we speculated about the first portion of the season. The Dean quotes come out after he was relieved of his duties. And now I can't pinpoint the exact date in my mind, but it's very clear he is back to the Kirill Kaprizov that Minnesota Wild fans appreciate. Every night is a single-handed effort of him, each shift, a dynamic player. You notice him. He's changing the game. He's influencing the game. He's creating stuff out of nothing. And there was a pass tonight. I want to say it was in the – I think it was the first period. just 3-on-2 entering the zone. He kind of, I want to say it was like Frankie Vetrano was out of position, or maybe it was one of the Ducks defenders, maybe kind of just closes in him on the near side half wall, and just a beautiful, like, saucer pass cross ice to Boldy, who had a chance then for a big opportunity. That pass is so much harder than he made it look, because it was nonchalant. It was tape to tape, but like, he did it in such a small amount of area that 2 months ago, I don't think he does that. He's not able to do that just based on his recovery and everything like that. I tweeted this out the other day, but how he's been able to individually just will this team into winning positions on a consistent basis here. Now, when it matters most, I said it earlier, it's still a pretty slim chance. I think it's like the analytics are giving them like a 20-25 at the most percent chance of making the playoffs. He's doing everything that he possibly can. This is where this goes back to our point for a while now. The depth really isn't there, because if they had depth, people would be stepping up, and it wouldn't need to be him alone every single night against teams like the Ducks, teams like the Coyotes, teams, you know, these bad teams where he just goes out and he's like, yeah, I'm going to score 2 goals. I'm going to score a hat trick. I'm just going to do that. And you know what? We might still go to overtime, but I'm still going to do it because I'm Kirill Kaprizov. So it's fantastic to see him back. And this is a good point by Bob. He's made the break from Zuccarello. I think this puts to bed, you don't need to have best friends play together just for the sake of a commercial. You can have them play on separate lines, and Kirill Kaprizov is going to thrive because he's a franchise player. He doesn't need Zuccarello on his line.
And Boldy's bet. I think Boldy is a better fit as a line mate, because there's not the temptation to turn into the passing twins then. And, you know, Zuccarello and Kaprizov are on the first PP, and that's fine. But, yeah, I think that Bob's exactly right, and we've talked about this. Now I do think, to go back to Hartman, what's frustrating to me is, like, tonight he stepped up. And my point is, where's that been more often? Like, Ryan Hartman, because where Ryan Hartman frustrates you has nothing to do with, it's not like we expect him to score a ton of goals, right? It's not like we expect him, but like the player that we saw tonight, I guess my question is, where is that consistently? Where is that guy consistently? Plays a smart game, plays a hard game. You know, the pass to Kaprizov, now, first of all, it's a great goal, because if I'm not mistaken, Kaprizov sort of batted it. It was like a bouncing puck, or it was in the air, and Kaprizov, you know, the incredible hand-eye coordination pays off there. But yeah, it's a couple things. It's a lack of depth, and then lack of the depth guys that you need stepping up. But with Eriksson Ek out tonight, you definitely got that. That was great. Marco Rossi is absolutely snake bit. He had a couple more chances tonight. He hasn't scored. I don't think he scored a goal since February, when he had a couple in the game against the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. It is, you know, but at some point in time, he's going to break through. I think his confidence is shaken a bit, but he's going to break through. Let's see here. What's the comment that you put up from Bennett here? Zuki on the power play is unreal. He distributes the puck so well. It's a huge reason the PP has been good of late. Well, that's absolutely true. Excuse the ice there. That's true. But I do think it's important to note that breaking up, I don't know why she had to pour the ice right when I was standing right there.
No, it's fine. She's doing good.
No. She's a nice lady. But, you know, Zuki on the power play with Kirill is absolutely fine. But the fact of the matter is that the Boldy, Eriksson Ek, and tonight Hartman, Kaprizov line, yeah, I think is a great fit. And I think Matthew and Kirill as wingers on the same line is a great fit. And I do like that fact that you don't have to have this overriding feeling that a guy who is, no question, a superstar player, like, has to be with one guy in particular, or his life is going to fall apart.
Yeah, and as people are pointing out here, you mentioned the goal drought for Marco Rossi. He finally was able to snap his point drought, a 10-game pointless streak tonight. The assist on the first goal of the game with Zach Bogosian, kind of a bounce pass, bank pass from the corner, off the half wall up to the point for the one-time shot that got beat Dostal for the initial goal of the game. Over this kind of rough patch for Marco Rossi, have you noticed, like, is it just bad luck? Is it you're seeing his play decline? Is it he's not doing the right things? What have you noticed, Judd, from Rossi's play here over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think it's largely puck luck. Like his tonight, he hit the post. He had a couple of chances. Like, he's had chances to score. Is he playing the best he's played? Absolutely not. He's not. So I'm not going to try and lie and say, oh, he's playing fantastic. But it feels like his confidence is shaken a bit. But he's a young player. I don't want to rip him. I feel like we're like we go so up and down with him. But I think once he pots a couple, if he pots a couple of goals, to use some hockey terms, I think he'll be fine. And you know what? At some point in time, if he continues to scuffle a bit, do you put him on the third line and Hustadinov on the second line and improve the line mates for him too? Just to see. Like, I want Rossi top six, but I feel better about it now that the guy on the third line tonight at the center spot, AJ, I feel more confident because I think that's the guy that could be a top six guy too. What I didn't like was the days of Rossi playing third line and Freddie Gaudreau being the second line center. That's what I objected to. I'm much more tolerant of a potential flip-flop with two really good young centers or two young centers.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that Husnadinov is able to play on the wing. Like, he's not a set I have to play center type of guy. So maybe we see a mix and match. I think somebody put it in the chat, if I can find it here, a line combination. And somebody posted this on Twitter earlier, but just the future line that we're going to potentially see of Kaprizov, Husnadinov, and Yurov on a line, just the Russian connection.
I'd love to see Husnadinov with Kaprizov to see if there's some at some point, just to see that, to see if there's some type of chemistry there.
And 1017 CK here has got how about Husnadinov on the left, Rossi with Zucchi for the second line. Could that be a combination that intrigues you?
I try it.
Yeah,
I try it.
Why not?
I think I want. Okay, so here's the one thing, and I mean, you can take faceoffs as a wing. I mean, Husnadinov won 6-9 faceoffs. That can't be dismissed. Like, we can't dismiss that completely. This team needs to win faceoffs. How long has this team had an overall? It feels like it's been since their inception age. I'm probably wrong, but it feels like since they got into the league that the Wild has had problems on faceoffs.
You want to know who the most prominent faceoff taker in Minnesota Wild history is? Zenon Konopka.
A goon in faceoff. He came here from Buffalo. I kid you not. I'm not joking. He came here from Buffalo known as a goon and a ace faceoff guy. Is that not the most mixed up thing you've ever heard in hockey? Like when's like who else has been a goon and what else can he do? Well, he can win a faceoff.
And thing is, he was so good because at the time it was legal, he was cheating. And now they implemented a rule solely because of him, because he would drop to the knee and like pivot the body and then hand pass it, essentially like punch the
puck. Now that's a penalty, right?
Yeah, now that's a penalty. So like what he was doing, they essentially, it's the Zenon Konopka rule. You just can't do that anymore. So that like that's the most prominent face-off taker in Wild history, now illegal. So it obviously it's a pretty small sample size, but I think he went like 6-for-8, 6-for-9 tonight. He started off with two pretty big ones.
6-for-9. I looked at the score sheet before I so rudely had to leave my workstation because the fire alarm at the X, which always goes off, and I have no idea why it always goes off. It's after the game. You don't need to sound the fire alarm. But yeah, I think he went 6-for-9. It was great. And also to backtrack on Kaprizov for a second, if I'm not mistaken, 8 shots on goal tonight, you know, and again, you can say it's the Ducks. They suck. Yes, they're not that good. But the fact is, those are the teams that you should do that against. That's what frustrated me Tuesday against the Coyotes. It felt like some, not Kaprizov, some guys on this team sort of threw their sticks out there to start the game and they're like, oh, we'll win. Tonight, it felt much more engaged. And look, I mean, Not only is it imperative and that this team 5-0-1 it's past six, you get the Blues on Saturday, and I believe that is in St. Louis. I don't believe, I know that. And then a week from Saturday, you get the Blues here for a matinee. You have to win those games. Now, it's not that you're going to end up battling St. Louis for a playoff spot, because I think that you're going to, whoever battles is going to end up obviously battling the Kings or Golden Knights. But you have to leave the Blues in the dust. And right now, the Blues, who beat the Kings last night at home, 71 points. The Wild, 73 points. Vegas, 77 points, if I'm not mistaken. They are the last wild card team. Vegas will kick up to 79 points if they beat Calgary. I think they're in the third period, which would actually then vault Vegas. I'm doing this off the top of my head. So would vault Vegas into third place in the Pacific and bring the Kings back down at 77. Is that correct?
Yes, that sounds correct. And right now the Flames actually just scored a Sharon Govich goal. Excuse me. No, a Coleman goal to put them up 2-1 over the Knights with just over 9 minutes to go in the third period. But as we saw the other night from the Vegas Golden Knights, until there's zeros on the score clock,
correct,
I will not assume that they're out of any game whatsoever. But as of right now, the Wild, yes, as you said, 73 points. They trail the Knights, who have 77, the second wild card team. And they are currently tied in the standings with the Kings at 77 points as well. So they get any points tonight, Kings fall down to that second wild card spot.
All right. Outstanding stuff, sir. Great stuff again. I apologize for all of the problems tonight. My main computer didn't work, or my main microphone didn't work. So I did the phone, the fire alarm went off. They had to take out the ice from the ice machine, from the pot machine here. It's always something, but guess what? Judd's Hockey Show is here for you. Our dedication is such that we will work through, we will battle through any of these things and everything to be here for you. He is AJ doing a fantastic job co-hosting Judd's Hockey Show. I'm Judd, and we'll talk to you soon.